Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, Happy New Year. Of course, it's already 8 days in, but we'd like to keep reminding us that it's a new day. I mean, every day is a new day. We are thankful for that. God's mercies are new every morning, but especially thankful that you've tuned into Faith Radio. Now, you may be new to this ministry. I have a hearty welcome to you, whether you're listening in on one of our signals from across the Upper Midwest or Hartford, or maybe listening online or on the app, the Faith Radio Network app, a free download. You can find that at your app store, or you can find a link on our website, myfaithradio.com. And I hope that you're doing well. Aaron Wellman's sitting in today. So Ted's a little under the weather. There's a lot of that going around. So.
Yeah, it seems like the few, the proud, are the ones who have survived without totally getting knocked off their feet. So.
That's about it. So anyway, Aaron, thank you for filling in today. And, we've had in the upper Midwest, we get our share of winter weather. Of course, the East Coast got hit pretty hard last weekend. And our guest today, who lives in the greater New York area, even though he's kind of, spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, David had a little hard time getting around a few things. So we're going to find out. We're not going to talk weather with David Bryant, but we are going to talk about Jesus, because that is what David has given his ministry life to for the past 40 years or so. David Bryant is my guest today. I'm so excited to have him back on with us. He's founder of Concerts of Prayer International. He's founder of Proclaim Hope. He's the designer of the Christ Institutes, a facilitator for ChristNow.com, author of many books, including Christ is All, and his latest that we're going to talk about, Christ is Now. The subtitle is 7 Groundbreaking Keys to Help You Explore and Experience the Spectacular Supremacy of God's Son Today. And I couldn't think of a better way to start the new year than to have a clearer vision of who Jesus is. And David has been passionate about that for many years, provides leadership to Proclaim Hope, whose mission is to foster and serve a nationwide Christ awakening movement. David, my friend, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Hi, Neil. Good to be back with one of my favorite people anywhere.
Well, we're joking about, you spent a lot of years with the university in Wisconsin, and your winter in the East Coast kind of affected travel a little bit in everything these last few days.
Well, I learned a whole new phrase, cyclone, bomb, snow. Yeah. That was a whole new idea for me, and then we went through it. I was supposed to have a luncheon with another gentleman who's a president of a college here in New Jersey, and I called him the day before, and I said, it looks like it's going to be really bad. Maybe we should call it off. And he said, no, I'm from Minneapolis. We never cancel for snow. And I said, well, I'm from Wisconsin. We never cancel for snow, so let's do it. But the next day we had to cancel because we were under a cyclone bomb, and that just sort of ended everything right there.
Well, maybe this conversation this hour will have the same sort of effect, sort of a cyclone bomb of new understanding of our Savior and Lord.
And that'd be wonderful.
This is, I know what your heart has been about for many years. Christ is Now is the name of the book. And I was thinking, David, as you do a little video on your website just to kind of introduce it, and you remind us that, we know about Jesus in the Gospels, and we have a sense of maybe what happens when he returns, but it doesn't seem like we know about who Jesus is today. How do we maybe miss that part of the equation?
Well, I've been traveling the world now for decades, and you begin to pick up some themes that seem to be all through the body of Christ. And this is one I began to pick up on a few years ago, that people don't have a real strong sense of who Jesus is right now. I mean, most of their studies in the Gospels has sort of made them think about Jesus in the past. And, of course, they've seen the charts and heard the messages about the second coming. So they've got some idea of what they can expect on up ahead when everything is finished. But what about right this very moment? Who is he right now? I think a conversation I had a couple of years ago now with someone that really brought it home was I was teaching on what I call the recreation of the resurrection. I was talking about how important it is to know that Jesus came out of the grave with a body, that he has that body right now, and that one day our bodies will be like his glorious body, as Paul says in Philippians 3. And this person got a funny look on their face. They said, you know, I never thought about Jesus having a body right now. I know he had a body when he's on the earth, and I know he's coming back visibly. But he said, I guess I've always thought that Jesus was just sort of up there floating around like some kind of a smoke or fog or something. And the very idea, it revolutionized this brother in Christ. The very idea that the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father, as we read about in so many parts of Scripture, is sitting there. You know, Stephen, when he was martyred, remember one of the last things he says there in Acts 7, he says, look, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And that's what really got people throwing rocks at him. But he was saying, I see a physical Jesus standing right there at the right hand of the Father. So this book is just designed to sort of tackle a whole lot of other ways of understanding who Jesus is now, and in so doing, revolutionize our whole relationship with him right now in ways that I see as I travel, Neil, is just really desperately needed all through the body of Christ.
The new book just came out here a couple months ago. And by the way, we do have one copy we're going to give away. This is 640 pages that is just packed with great theology and inspiration and encouragement and vision. I mean, you'll be so encouraged when you get a copy of this. And we'll talk more about where to get that in the moments ahead. But the subtitle for the book, Christ Is Now, is 7 Groundbreaking Keys to Help You Explore and Experience the Spectacular Supremacy of God's Son Today. Say more about the word spectacular.
You know, that came to me about, 6 or 7 years ago because, well, number one, people don't normally, it's interesting, don't normally talk in terms of the supremacy of Christ. Maybe the sovereignty of God, you hear that phrase. The centrality of Christ, you hear that a lot. I try to show in my writings, including in this book a little bit, the radical difference between centrality and supremacy, and we might want to talk about that for a moment. But even using the word supremacy, it sounded, well, in some ways it sounded too theological. So I thought, I've got to brighten it up a little bit because it really is the most important understanding of who Jesus is right now, his supremacy. It defines who he is and what he's doing, both. And then one day, I don't know, the word spectacular came to me and I thought, okay, I'm going to always use that. Those two words together as much as I possibly can. And you know, last week, Neil, I got a call. This is interesting. I got a call from one of the leading pastors here in New York City. It was actually on Christmas Eve day, and he just had to call me because he's been working through the book. And he said, David, I've never read any book like this before. He said, you've taken the profound theological truths about Jesus and made them accessible to every single person sitting in my pew, but somehow you've done it without losing the sense of how profound each truth is. And that to me just, it thrilled my heart, Neil, because spectacular supremacy is my way of signaling to my readers, you're going to confront Jesus in ways you've never seen him before, but it's going to be so accessible, so exciting, so life-transforming that you'll never regret a minute you spend learning more about who he is today.
We've spent, of course, I think much of maybe modern church over the last few decades is say we need to make the gospel, the message more accessible, but maybe at the expense of the profound. Right. But so say more about, well, maybe just helping us understand. We mentioned centrality versus supremacy. Oh. What's the difference?
Well, in this book, I've used different ways of trying to illustrate that my answer to that question. In this recent book, I actually have there's an opening 9 meditations which you could use one a day in your quiet time, for example. And the last one is called Base Camp or Mountaintop. You must choose. And that's really my way, one way of describing the difference. Here's how I define it, then I'll go back to the base camp for a moment. I define the centrality of Christ as Christians normally mean it when they use it, as I've listened to them talking over the years. And they mean, Jesus, I want Jesus to be at the center of who I am, where I'm headed, what I'm doing, how I get blessed, those four issues particularly. And we would want it. We do want him to be at the center of all of those things, for sure. But if we stop there, we have not really entered in to the full extent of what real discipleship is about as presented in the New Testament. So then I say, okay, centrality is having Jesus at the center of who I am, where I'm headed, what I'm doing, how I get blessed. But supremacy is a step beyond that. It's putting me at the center of who he is, where he is headed, what he is doing, how he gets blessed. And I illustrate that in this ninth meditation by saying, you know, here are mountain climbers. I actually have a picture at the opening of the meditation. It shows a base camp with all the tents set up, and it can show you the range of the mountains in the background. And, of course, people are in the base camp not to stay in the base camp. They're in the base camp to get themselves ready to climb the mountain. And so we have to, a lot of Christians end up staying in their tent in the base camp. You know, their relationship with Jesus is basically just about their daily activities, where they are, and making sure they keep him in mind. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do, what the New Testament clearly teaches, is he wants to bring us to a place, like Paul said, for me to live as Christ. That's where my life now is involved in what he's all about. And that means I get out of my tent and I start scaling that mountain, which is the supremacy of Christ, and moving more and more into who he is and what he's all about and what he's doing right now. As I often say, with this I'll stop here because there's a lot of ways to talk about it. We've often heard, in fact, there's a little booklet called the Four Spiritual Laws. I'm sure many of our listeners have probably used it to share Christ with their friends. And the first law says, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And in a sense, that is true. But the way I like to word it, and the whole first chapter of Ephesians backs me up, the way I like to word it is, God loves his son and has a wonderful plan for him to sum up everything in heaven and earth under his feet as Lord. And he loves you enough to give you a place in that plan. And that, to me, is where the excitement of the Christian life begins. When we finally shift from just looking for a little plan for my life and move into a deeper and richer involvement in God's plan for the ages, which is all about the exalting of his son.
Well, in the moments ahead, we're going to learn more about how we can enter into God's plan for his son and his spectacular supremacy. Talking with David Bryant about his new book, Christ Is Now, 7 Groundbreaking Keys to Help You Explore and Experience the Spectacular Supremacy of God's Son Today. We do have one copy of this magnificent book to give away. I want to encourage you to sign up for it. I hope that you have a sense of the passion in David's voice. You may have, you know, known Jesus since your childhood, but you're going to find new depths of intimacy with Christ as a result of this work. So give us a call, sign up. We'll do the drawing here at the top of the hour, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And we'll put you in the drawing for Christ Is Now. We're going to talk more with David Bryant from Proclaim Hope. He's the founder of Concerts of Prayer International. And we'll hear more about some of these groundbreaking keys as we learn more about who Jesus is. Today to move from the base camp and to climb the mountain, a clear vision of the spectacular supremacy of God's Son today. Who is Jesus Christ and how can we know him better? consequential Christology is what we hope to help develop here, even over this next hour. David Bryant with us today. For decades, David has played a widely visible role in the emergence of an unprecedented worldwide prayer movement. He's founder of Concerts of Prayer International. Currently, he leads Proclaim Hope, and their mission is to foster and serve a nationwide Christ awakening movement. He's written a number of books, and there is videos of Christ is All, his previous and now the latest Christ is Now. David, before we maybe dive in a little deeper, can we just summarize what you have seven prepositions to help us think through who God's Son is today? Say, just to do a little summary, if you would.
Yeah, well, it's been my goal for 40-some years of ministry, Neil, to try and boil things down and make them as simple and approachable as possible. So after spending years, literally years, researching on who Christ is right now, not only out of thousands of passages of the Scripture that helps along that line, but studying the church fathers and great theological tomes, and most of all, listening to what leaders and Christians were saying about how they view Jesus as I traveled, what I started doing was I started writing on little 3x5 cards any new insight I was gaining about the person of Jesus, and I did that for years. And I had thousands of these cards, and I thought, now how am I going to ever make this something that any normal person could handle, because nobody's going to be able to ever do what I've done with all those hours and years of travel and study and so on. So finally, I got to some shoeboxes. I finally figured out I could break it down. All that I discovered about Jesus, I could break it down into seven major categories. So I had shoeboxes packed with these little cards. And then, so I had it broken down to seven major issues about who Jesus is today. And then I thought, well, now how am I going to make this accessible? And finally it came to me a number of years ago, and I've been teaching this and learning how powerful it can be, that you could actually talk about who Jesus is today using seven little tiny prepositions. So I finally brought it down to this. Here we are. Who Christ is to us, who Christ is for us, then over us, then before us, then within us, and through us, and upon us. And very simply, it means this. Who Christ is to us is everything you could ever say about who the person of Jesus is. His personality, his deity, his position in the universe, all of his characteristics. All those things of who he is at this very moment, if you were able to sit down in your living room and just have a talk and get to know him as a person, that's who he is to us. Who he is for us are the four major pillars of our salvation: his incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and yet seeing those all as they work together, take any one of those out, and you do not have what redemption and salvation is all about. That's who he is for us. Who he is over us, it's what his reign is all about. Who he is over creation, who he is over the unfolding of world history, who he is over the rulers among the nations, who he is over the different peoples of the earth, who he is over the powers of darkness, who he is over the church as he builds the church, then who he is before us. That to me is one of the most exciting, how the scriptures teach us that he goes ahead of us. He's leading the way. He's prior. He goes ahead of us in four directions. He goes ahead of us into the future and brings it back to us. He goes ahead of us into the heavens and takes us there with him. He goes ahead of us into the promises of God, of which there are thousands, and he makes them ours as well. And then he goes ahead of us into the world and opens the way for us to serve him and to reach others for him. And then who he is within us, as he dwells not only within my life, but even more importantly, among his people together, and all the ramifications of what's going on every Sunday morning. He's actually there as we gather to worship, not just part of him, but all of him, and all of him for who he is right now, dwelling among us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then who he is through us individually and corporately to advance the cause of the gospel in a whole variety of ways that the scriptures teach us, how he's actively ministering through us into the world. And finally, who he is upon us, and there are two major pieces of that. as he comes upon us even daily to intensify and deepen our relationship with him and take us where we've never been before. That should become a regular experience in our walk with him. And then finally, as he comes upon the whole universe in the final days and in the consummation and in all the ages to come, who he is in terms of that facet of coming upon his people that the scriptures teach us about. Now, that's taken me about 3 or 4 minutes. Then this book took me about 640 pages, you know. But we've broken it down into just little bite-sized chunks so you can walk through all the different pieces of those seven prepositions. And I think that's what that pastor meant when he called me on Christmas Eve day and say, you've taken what's really profound, it almost feels beyond us about the greatness of Jesus, and you've brought it down to where everybody in my pew, he said, can get a hold of it. That's how the seven prepositions work.
David, we only have a couple minutes before the hard break at the bottom, but just curious, you know, you spent 40 years, you know, researching and preaching on who Christ is. Did anything surprise you, maybe just in putting this together? And we'll dive in a little deeper here coming on the other side of the break, but any surprises or maybe something that just caused you to pause and wonder anew?
You got me there. There's so many. But I think one that immediately comes to my mind, so I'll just hope that's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say right now, is what I call approximations of the consummation. And by that I mean that every promise that God has given us, if you study them, they are approximating, giving me a chance to get a foretaste of what it's going to be like when everything comes out at the end and all the victories are won and Jesus is, you know, filling the whole universe with his glory and his reign and so on. Every promise God fulfills in my life right now is giving me a sort of like a, you know, preview of coming attractions like we see in the movie theater. It's giving me a little bit of a sense right now of what it's really going to be like, and that really going to be like at the end. And that approximation of the consummation is what makes living the Christian life in Jesus, in the light of his supremacy, surely the most exciting way anybody can live life on planet Earth. And that came to me a few years ago, and it really transformed even how I look at the promises of God.
Well, I hope you sense the excitement, the urgency in David Bryant today as he shares about his new book, Christ Is Now. And the subtitle is Seven Groundbreaking Keys to Help You Explore and Experience the Spectacular Supremacy of God's Son Today. Meet him again for the first time, and I hope that as you hear our discussion that you will get a sense more of who he is. We do have a copy of David's great new book to give away. 877-933-2484 is our phone number, 877-93-FAITH. And you can sign up for a copy of this amazing work. David Bryant from Proclaim Hope, author, speaker, and a passionate teacher about who God's Son is today. More on that coming up in the moments ahead. Call to be in the drawing, 877-93-FAITH. Time we have the opportunity to get a clear picture of who Jesus is, understand who God's Son is today, then we have accomplished great things here on Connecting Faith. I'm so honored to have David Bryant with me today to help us do that, just to see a clearer vision. As we talked a little bit earlier, we're moving from the base camp to climb the mountain of the spectacular supremacy of God's Son today, talking about his new book, Christ Is Now. And as it says in the book titled Meet Him Again for the First Time, and it may be that you know, we have just not had a clear picture of who Jesus is, and so we want to accomplish that today. David is a founder of Concerts of Prayer International. He was past chairman of America's National Prayer Committee, former pastor, minister-at-large with the University Christian Fellowship. He's written several powerful books. He leads a Proclaim Hope right now. That's his ministry as he teaches around the globe. We can talk about the Christ Institutes, and there's actually a video series with that, and the website ChristNow.com, which I want to encourage you to go to. But David, let's tell me more about who Christ is today. We did a little summary of those prepositions, to, for, over, before, within, through, upon. We probably won't get to all of them, but maybe we start with helping us understand our identity in Christ, and then what does it mean that Christ is our righteousness?
Yeah. Oh, that is such a wonderful area to think through, too. Under the chapter on who Christ is to us, that first preposition, there's about, I think, 7 or 8 major categories it breaks down into. But the last one is called Christ is our identity and our destiny. And I actually put those two words together because I know they're inseparable. That he is our identity determines our destiny. And because he's our destiny, then he is the only identity we've got right now. I mean, when you talk about God's righteousness and Christ being righteous, it means he's in right standing. He has the right relationship with God, who, of course, is without sin, and Jesus was without sin. It means that he lived a sinless life. We know that. It means that he took the curse of our sin on him on the cross. But it means that now that he's alive in the dead and seated and reigning at the right hand, Paul has this wonderful phrase in Colossians 3 where he says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Wow. I mean, it's like you're wrapped up in Jesus and Jesus is wrapped up in God. That's what I mean by supremacy. We're at the center of who he is, which means that when God responds, this to me, I can never cease being excited to think about this. When God looks at me, he sees Jesus and he treats me as if I actually was Jesus. Even on this side of the judgment, you know, in a sense, Jesus said if we trust in him, we've already passed from death into life. Well, also, we've already passed from this side of the judgment to the other side of the judgment. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because my identity today, even though I'm not yet everything God wants me to be, I'm not yet conformed to the image of Christ, which is where God's headed in his work within my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even so, he looks at me right now and says, I'm going to treat you as if you were Jesus. I'm going to work with you as if you were Jesus. I'm going to bless you and minister to you and work through your life as if you were Jesus, because he has become your identity. And that means he's become my righteousness. He's put me in right standing, in the right position with the Father, so much so that Paul says in Ephesians 2, I'm actually seated. Wow, just think about this. I am seated, he said, with Jesus in heavenly places. Now, I'm still sitting here in my office right now. What does that mean? Well, it means God regards me as so wrapped up in his Son and so identified with his Son that it's almost as if I'm sitting up there on the throne with Jesus right now. And that's why I say that's our destiny. So, you know, whatever the destiny of the Son of God is, I'm going to be there with him in it all and through it all. And so, we don't look at ourselves so much anymore. Paul says, you know, whatever there was about my life, I counted it loss, he said, that I may have Christ, Philippians 3, and be found in him, identity, as my righteousness. There it is. And boy, I tell you, when Christians start, you know, we talk about who am I? What's my identity? And what's my self-concept? When Christians start seeing themselves the way the Father sees them in Jesus and start acting and living in that reality, it transforms everything else in your life.
you know, it's just looking through some notes, thinking there's probably, you know, this is an opportunity to learn more about the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I thought, you know, there's some great ones that you can keep circling back to. Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, Revelation 1. I thought, you know, if you're only going to read three chapters today, those three might be the ones to really center in on for a while.
I actually have an exercise. It's interesting you mentioned that, Neil. When I'm training, like particularly with pastors and Christian leaders in one of my institutes, you know, one thing I'll have them do is break into small groups, and I'll assign the ones of almost every book of the New Testament. So the first one gets, you know, Matthew 1 and Mark 1, and just keep on moving, 1 Thessalonians 1, and then, of course, like you say, Revelation 1. And then I say, your job is just to look at the first chapter of every book of the New Testament, and for the next 10 minutes, dig out everything you could find out about who Jesus is right now, just in that chapter alone. Well, of course, as you mentioned, those who have Ephesians 1 or Revelation 1, you know, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, they get off easy because it's just packed. But every single one of every Bible or every book in the Bible tells us things about Jesus that in most cases we don't normally hear. I mean, if you listen to the preaching and to the conversations that go on in our churches on a regular basis and ask, you know, at the end of 2 or 3 months, what have I been hearing about Jesus? Just talking to my fellow believers, have they been sharing anything new or exciting that they're finding out about who Jesus is today? There's not a lot going on where we're talking about and going deeper and uncovering, as Paul says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. We just need to do that a whole lot more, not only for ourselves, but for each other. And what I do with these groups of leaders, then when they've had their 10 or 15 minutes in their huddles, then I say, okay, appoint one person, and you get exactly 1 minute to stand up and say as many things as you can in 1 minute that you learned about Jesus from that one chapter of the book you were assigned. And I'm telling you, by the time you finish, let's say 20 groups, going around 20 minutes, just every minute, things about Jesus. I mean, everybody in that room. I mean, I've done this so many times, I can guarantee you if you ever try with your Sunday school class or anything, everybody in that room is just sort of sitting there in awe, breathless almost, in the realization, boy, there is a whole lot more about Jesus than we normally think about.
Wow. Which is why it's so great to have you on today, early in the new year. So let's get a clearer vision of who Jesus is. You know, in the chapter, the key of about 4, you talk about, there's a great statement that says, it's not the power of the cross that makes Jesus great, it's the greatness of Jesus that makes the cross powerful. Just say more about this central, important piece of our understanding of who Jesus is.
Right. Well, my point is, it's not... The first thing about the cross is not the blood and the sacrifice and the suffering and so on. It's about who was there. When Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the emphasis is on our Lord Jesus Christ because there were thousands of crosses in Jesus' day, all kinds of. He had two people on either side of him on crosses when he was on the cross. So it's not the cross itself. And what I've discovered, and this may shock some of our listeners, I don't want to do that, but we can focus so much on the cross that we forget who was there and who it was that was suffering for us. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And what we read it, often we read it, he says, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ crucified. It's like we've got to get on to the crucifixion. No, you need to know two things. Now watch this. It's very important what Paul says. You need to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one whom God has promised for ages would come and fulfill all the promises and prophecies and purposes of God, who would rule and reign on the throne of David, whose kingdom would never end. That is the person I want you to know about. And also then know what he did for you when he was put on the cross for you. Knowing who it was that was on the cross is what gives the cross its real power.
Just think about, you know, the name, Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we could camp on each one of those for the rest of the time, and it would be a good thing to do.
Well, actually, there's a section under the chapter, Who Christ Is to Us, I talk about the claims of his names. And that's that little section I actually list, and it takes about two pages, two columns each page, three pages. I just list all the names, or not all of them. I list over 100 names that are given to Jesus in the scriptures, most of which we never use when we think about him.
You also talk about we've talked before about the importance of the ascension. I mean, the crucifixion significant, the incarnation obviously significant, yeah. Resurrection vital, but the ascension needs some attention.
Yeah, the attention to the ascension, that's one of the meditations, actually. That's something I have the advantage of traveling and listening. I often say when I address an audience, I'll say to them, the most important thing I'm bringing to you here today are my ears. Because most of what I'm going to share with you is what I've discovered listening. And one of the things I've discovered listening over the years, traveling all through the body of Christ, every stream of the church in different nations of the world, is how little attention we give to the ascension. And yet the ascension is the capstone. Without the ascension, the incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection would be null and void. If there was not a point where the Father said to the Son, everything you've just done in your earthly ministry, everything is perfect, it is thoroughly satisfying, you've completed the work that needed to be done, now I invite you to come and sit at my right hand, and I want you to rule and reign over this whole creation that's being redeemed by your redemptive mission. If there hadn't been a moment where that transaction took place, then all the rest would be null and void. Part of why we don't think about Jesus today and Jesus now is because we're so untaught about the fact of the ascension and the implications of the ascension and the ramifications of the ascension in our daily life. We do say Jesus is Lord, but, it says, and one last thought, I could go on to this forever. In Ephesians 4, there's a verse there that just should thrill us all. It says that he who descended, that's his earthly ministry, also ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill the universe with himself. Now, the word fills in present tense. Right now, ascended at the right hand of the Father, Jesus is filling this universe. He's filling it with his glory. He's filling it with his sovereignty, his supremacy. He's filling it with his activity. He's filling it with his presence and his power. That's all happening every day in every part of the universe. We may not see it all or identify it all at any given moment, but to know that that's my life's being lived in that environment of the reign of Christ going on actively at this moment, wow. That's why I also have on the front cover of my book that little phrase, meet him again for the first time. Because if we really get to know Jesus for who he is right now in the reality of his ascension, when we do, for many of us, it's almost as if we're starting all over again. We're meeting him again for the first time.
I want to encourage you to sign up for a copy of David's new book, Christ Is Now, and that you too might be able to meet him again for the first time. You certainly want to look for it. You can go to the website christnow.com. We got a copy to give away. You can sign up for it with a phone call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Maybe you have been a Christ follower for many years, but this conversation today helping you see Jesus in ways you'd never seen him before. Passion and urgency and excitement all summing up David Bryan's work from Proclaim Hope. And we'll talk about Christ Is Now in just a moment. So if Christ is reigning, then how do we explain some of what's going on in world history and global leaders and even the work of the enemy? We'll get to David's reaction to that coming up in a couple minutes. Again, sign up for a copy of the book, 877-93-FAITH.
Oh,
Focusing on who Jesus is today. In fact, talking about the brand new book called Christ Is Now, 7 Groundbreaking Keys to Help You Explore and Experience the Spectacular Supremacy of God's Son Today. David Bryant is my guest, he's author of this groundbreaking book, and really represents his, I guess, magnum opus. That's not an unreasonable thing to say about this great work, and we don't have time to get through it all. By the way, if you go to davidbryantbooks.com, you can find out more about the book, and there's a little video that kind of explains it as well. And so, David, that might be a good spot to go if people want to read more and just to get a copy of it, right?
Yeah, we actually allow you to read some samplings from the book at that site. But also another thing is if you go to our book Christ Is Now site on Amazon, you'll find dozens of reviews have already come in, and just get a sense of what others are experiencing as they've read the book, I think would probably cause a lot of our listeners to take a second look as well.
Well, we're not going to get through all, I guess, the 7 keys, but you reference a Polish hymn with 3 declarations: Christ conquers, Christ reigns, Christ governs. And I think we look at the world today and go, well, how does that relate to world history and despots and the works of the enemy and natural disasters? Say more about where Christ is today.
Yeah, actually, I learned about that hymn, Neil, back many years ago. When after he had become Pope, Pope John Paul II went back to his home country, Poland, in Warsaw, and there was, of course, it was under communist rule, it was under atheistic leaders. It was supposed to be an atheistic nation, and he held this open-air rally with a couple million people. I've seen the pictures of it. And there were almost like press boxes above the Victory Square where the rally took place in Warsaw, and all of the communist leaders were sitting up there because they were really feeling uneasy about what was happening here. And about 2 million people broke out, and of course singing in Polish, but they broke out and they sang it. They sang this famous hymn, and there's a chorus that, Christ reigns, Christ conquers. They just kept singing it over and over and over, and I thought, that really is the truth of what the reign of Christ is all about today. And you can have all kinds of people who deny that it's real, but the truth is there. And part of how he manifests his reign is by raising up the body of Christ in many of the nations of the world. I was listening to your promotion for this wonderful outreach next month, Live Free, dealing with human trafficking. I mean, what the Church of Jesus Christ is doing in that whole area around the world right now, and that's the reign of Christ breaking through his people. He's actually changing the course of history, certainly changing the course of individual lives, because there are people who are living under his reign and responding to it and allowing him to do through them what maybe they would never have tried to attempt on their own. And when I think of the reign of Christ, like I have a whole chapter on Christ over us, and I look at a number of areas, and the first one is how he's over the unfolding of world history. And, I can't explain every single event and where it all fits in. I don't think anybody can do that, obviously. But we do know from Scripture that God is moving everything throughout the history of the world toward that climactic moment when everything ends up at the feet of Jesus for final disposal. And so then it gives you a new way to look at the newspaper, a new way to watch the news, to ask yourself in the midst of all of this, even chaos at times, how is the Lord Jesus moving things back more and more toward himself? Sometimes the most tragic situations can end up actually resulting in something good, like we read about with Joseph, what was intended for evil. There's history being transformed. God meant it for good, and it didn't just affect Joseph and his family there in the book of Genesis. It affected the entire nation of Egypt and in the process, and of course, therefore, affected the direction of their history. That's again, having that vision as you look at the news on the nightly newscast can change everything, and that's just a part of what the reign of Christ over us is all about.
I just made a note of just a little line in that chapter: Christ is what history is all about. And I thought, just that statement alone should help us look at the world differently today.
Well, yeah, and it's not original with me. I heard this ages ago. History is spelled his story, because history really is his story. He's writing it. In the end, it's all about him. In the end, it comes out at his feet. So in the end, all history is really his story.
You talked just at the outset that one of your favorites was focusing on who Christ is before us today. And we've got about three, 4 minutes left. Maybe we can just talk about that, the promises of God, and how this study could encourage us maybe to understand who Jesus is better today.
Well, part of I talk about four areas. That he goes into the future, brings it back to us. He goes into the heavens, takes us there with him. He moves into the promises of God to seal them, to fulfill them, and to give them to us. And then he moves ahead of us into the nations. How often Paul says the door has been opened for me and so on, that Jesus goes ahead of us, each of us, and opens ways, even in our own neighborhoods. He wants to go ahead of us. Someone taught me years ago, and I've shared this when I speak with businessmen quite frequently. I said, remember, every day when you get up to go to work, remember this phrase, where Christ sends you, he meets you. If your work isn't where Christ is sending you, you need to get another job. If your work is where Jesus wants you to be, so every morning he's sending you, that's your mission. And the great thing to know is when you get to the office, so to speak, he's already there ahead of you, getting things ready, opening a way for you to serve and minister that day. But one of the exciting things is to understand, for example, on the promises of God, that all of the promises, it's estimated by scholars that there may be 7,000 separate promise statements in the scriptures, many of them sort of duplicating each other, of course. But all of those promises, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, are yes to us. That means God says they're yours, but then he adds the phrase, in Christ Jesus. Because the fact of the matter is, he goes into those promises to make them his own. They're all fulfilled in him. They're all about him. Whenever God fulfills them secondarily in our own lives, it's in order to glorify him. When I'm in Christ Jesus, then all those promises are mine. But that's because he went ahead of me and took them and made them his own and fulfilled them in himself. And now he shares them with us. I also talk about how he goes into the future and brings it back to us. To me, and again, there's not time here, obviously, this is the whole realm of what Christian hope is all about. And when Einstein was able to figure out in the theory of relativity that it's possible for two people to be in two different places and to be in different time zones at the same time, and that you could go into the future while someone stays in the past or vice versa, none of which I understand, except that I know that in the scriptures it's very clear when Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, he means I'm already at the end, but I'm also here with you at the beginning. I can bring so much of what's going to happen at the end back to you. And when I say, oh, I'm living in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what I'm experiencing is, and we talked about this earlier, is a foretaste of my own resurrection being brought back to me right here and now. So Paul says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit is giving life to our mortal bodies. He says it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So when Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 6, that of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're tasting of the powers of the age to come. That's what Jesus gives us.
Oh, there's so much more. 640 pages of amazing insights. Christ is now, from David Bryant. David, bless you, a friend. People want to, they can look on Amazon, right? Christ is now. Search there, or go to David Bryant Books, or anything else you want to leave us with.
Just remember, Jesus is supreme, so make sure he stays in that position in your life every single day.
Amen. David Bryant, founder of Concerts of Prayer, founder of Proclaim Hope, and the author of the new book, Christ is Now, joining us today on Connecting Faith. If you want to listen to this again, you can find it. We post the interviews on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.